In the beginning, there was the cold and the night.
Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the number one New York Times best-selling author, Robin Cook. He's out with a new novel, Genesis. Robin is the dean of the medical thriller genre in writing. He founded it, and he's basically taken off with it. Robin, this book is just, well, it's ripped from the headlines. I know that's kind of a phrase that gets overused, but kind of set this up for us. You have a medical examiner in New York, and genealogical DNA is going on. What do you want people to know going in?
Well, I was fascinated by this sudden craze that people have of finding out their heritage by sending in DNA samples, etc. Fascinated by the fact that it was able to catch the Golden State Killer, and as I think everyone else was. And yet, I really didn't know how it worked. I mean, I sort of did, but I really didn't. And so I thought, well, this I'm always interested in this type of thing. And also because I thought, well, this is kind of a new forensic technique to catch, you know, bad guys and stuff, bad people. And so I researched it and found out that it was actually more interesting than I thought. So I thought it would be a perfect kind of Robin Cook book because what I try to do is I try to entertain people and yet at the same time let them learn something about medicine or biotechnology or maybe scare them a little bit. But this one doesn't scare people, but it gives them an opportunity to kind of understand how this genetic genealogy works and how powerful this DNA situation is in our culture, and it's going to get more and more powerful and all sorts of issues of privacy, etc. I just thought it was a fascinating subject.
Well, Lori Montgomery is back, and she's the chief New York City medical examiner. She's not as prevalent in this book due to some circumstances that take place there. So really, it's a pathology resident, Dr. Nichols, who kind of takes the lead role. What's that like for you to kind of have a new character emerge?
Well, I do that all the time, actually. Not with every book, but with most of my books, and especially those books that don't have Jack and Laurie in them. They're new characters. And I just thought this would be more interesting, especially since I like to push the boundaries. I do something in this book with my main character, the Aria Nichols, who you talk about, that I don't think anybody else has ever done in a novel. And I don't really necessarily want to say what it is because it would be somewhat of a spoiler. But I had to think about it very hard. Can I really manipulate and do something to the main character and still have my readers stay with me? And anyway, I tried something a little bit different in this book, and she's a very unique character, and I think it really worked out really well.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, and this reader stayed with it, so it worked as far as I'm concerned. What I liked is the first page of this book. When I picked this book up, I didn't know, I mean, I've read Robin Cook books before, so I knew what to expect, but the first page could have been summed up that two people had sex on a cold night. You took that a step further, and the way you described it, I thought was one of the most memorable openings to a book I think I've ever read, and I absolutely loved it. And I think you know what I'm talking about. What was it behind your idea to draw that scene out and so alliteratively to kind of draw the reader in? Because boy, I was hooked after reading that.
Well, you know, it's something that the fact of human fertilization is so unbelievably fascinating and astounding. And yet, since it happens, as I found out by Googling it, but 350,000 times a day, we take it so much for granted. But it's one of the most astounding things in the universe that it actually works, that it And if people just stop and think just a little bit about this situation that happens with fertilization, and it fascinates me so much, and I thought, well, can I crystallize that in sort of in a way that will make people think about it the way I was thinking about it, and how amazing it is that it actually works. I mean, when you think about it, each one of us is an accident in the universe, and it's such amount of organization where everything else in the universe is breaking down, and yet every time there's a fertilization, that goes in the opposite direction, and it's so inconceivable that it actually works, and it fascinates me. And when I thought about it that way, I think, can I describe that in 2 pages or a page and a half? And actually, I have to say that my editor didn't like the idea initially, and I had to talk them into including it. I said, no, it has to be there, because in a certain sense, that's what the title of the book, Genesis. I'm not rewriting the Bible or anything like that. It's the fact that how a human life starts, and it's phenomenal that it works.
I'm chatting with Robin Cook about his latest novel, as he said, Genesis. It's a medical thriller available now wherever your books are sold. Robin, that discussion you had with your editor about keeping that in, is that something that probably wouldn't have been kept in if this was your first book, but now that you've got the credibility in the publishing industry and with your editor, you're able to take those harder stands?
I think so, yeah. But I also have to take into consideration that the publishing industry as a whole is under such pressure, and they're trying all sorts of things to kind of keep their head above water. So I wasn't angry about it. I just felt strongly. And yes, I at this stage, since this is my 37th book, I said, no, this has to be in. But I tell you what, I will cut it down, because originally it was like 4 type pages, which would have been a little bit longer than it is now. And so I did cut it down quite a bit, just to crystallize it a little bit more. But I, the fact that you enjoyed it so much, I can sort of ask you if you also like the fact that I made an effort to kind of create an image as you are the reader, and you think about this dark night, as you mentioned, a stormy night, so to speak, which is kind of a cliche in a certain sense, but to start out and have a mental image, and then on top of that put this unbelievable fact, these facts that actually happen. I loved it myself, so I really appreciate hearing you appreciated it as well.
Well, something else I love that you did in this book, and you do it in the other books as well, is you explain the politics behind the office of the medical examiner. And I think medical examiners, not a lot of people know them. You know, everybody knows a cop, everybody knows a lawyer, everybody knows a doctor. Not a lot of people know MEs, and when you're the chief medical examiner, medical examination is not the big thing. The big thing is budgets and running the office. And so when you delve into that, that's got to frustrate you, being a person of medicine, to see all the politics behind a job that shouldn't be political.
Right. That's what really fascinates me about the medical examiner, and the fact that they're on a tightrope, because they're supposed to be independent of the police and also of the administration, and yet they're selected by the administration. And then they also have to deal with a limited budget of some sort. It's the chief medical examiner who's trying to do his job or her job. It's really a tightrope walk, and it's something I didn't really appreciate until I looked into it more, and I see how much better it works when it works well. Like in New York, it really does work well, and it has worked well for some time. But there are some other cities in the United States where it doesn't work as well. Boston is one of those cities. There's also some countries where it doesn't work well. In France, I don't think the system works at all, because the the police have too much control over the medical examiners.
In this book, where genealogical DNA is used to solve a crime, ultimately, and a murder, I've seen David Baldacci, and I've seen his masterclass that he did, and he showed on the masterclass the binder of research that he had for one little research thing that he did for maybe two pages in the book. What's your research like compared to what's in the book for something like genealogical DNA? It's got to be astronomical.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the only fun part about writing a book is doing the research. And I enjoy the research, and I go overboard. I always go overboard. And and I had a long way to catch up on this DNA, genealogical DNA, genetic genealogy, because myself, I recognize that I'm a total mongrel, and I know there's no royalty in my past. So I've never been actually interested myself, but I'm very interested in personalized medicine, which is really coming down the pike, meaning pharmacology and also other types of treatments, etc., is going to be dependent upon a person's specific DNA. And so I've been up on that, but not up on this genealogical arena. And so I had to do a lot of research. And yet, as I say, that's the part that I enjoy the most.
All right. The book is Genesis. It's the latest medical thriller from Robin Cook. Robin, just a fantastic offering. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
After 2,000 years.